Share your thoughts. Look for ABCRN on Facebook.
On air and online, RN Afternoons with Michael McKenzie.
Hello there. Look, I have to admit there are public spaces I am afraid to enter because I'm deeply concerned I'll never get out alive. Actually, there's only one space. It's shopping centres and their attendant car parks. I've seen skeletons clutching car keys and some of them, their finger bones crushed by tyres. Look, I might be embellishing a little, but you get the idea. In this hour, we meet a man who turned his shopping centre experience into a piece of radio drama. Plus, I've got a cool song to go with the story. And speaking of cool, the tragic life of one of the icons of cool from the world of jazz, Chet Baker, is the subject of my discussion with Mal Stanley later on the Savo. And do you know what this is? Of course you don't, but Bernie Hobbs will tell us about that and breakthroughs also in the treatment of dengue fever in the second hour of the show. And if that doesn't grab you, how about a cheap headset that helps you control objects just by thinking about them? I kid you not. Yes, I've just locked your radio to RN Afternoons. But first, if you're seeking medical help, one option you may be considering is to see a chiropractor. We've all seen their advertisements online and on television claiming they can cure back pain, but many chiros also claim to treat migraines, allergies, cold and flu, but it doesn't stop there. Others also claim they can treat heart disease, hypertension, pneumonia, and a range of pediatric conditions, including colic, ear infections, learning difficulties, and bedwetting under the umbrella of baby chiropractic. But are these claims backed by evidence? Well, according to our first guest, absolutely not. Ken Harvey is the adjunct associate professor at the School of Public Health and Preventive Medicine at Monash University. He's also a practicing public health physician and a long-time consumer advocate. We had Ken on the radio a few weeks ago to talk about how pharmaceutical companies are influencing doctors' decision-making. Now he's written a piece in the Medical Journal of Australia about his concerns with chiropractic. And Ken, why this piece? Why now?
Well, it's been 5 years, Michael, since chiropractors were first asked under the national regulatory scheme to get their act together with respect to advertising and to make sure that it wasn't false, misleading and deceptive, that it didn't create unnatural or unreasonable expectations of treatment, and that it didn't encourage unnecessary use of chiropractic.
And in those 5 years, have chiropractic practitioners got their act together?
Well, some, yes, but certainly a lot more haven't. And indeed, many people have been concerned over the years that misleading advertising continues, as you said in your introduction. Choice, the Australian Consumers Association, have written about it.
Who have you worked with, I think?
Yes, that's right. And again, a number of complaints have been put in, but not much seems to have happened. A colleague and I talked to the Australian, the ACCC, the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission, about this last year. They've talked to the chiropractic board, but we think the time has come for action. And indeed, we've put in 10 representative complaints that we feel are serious complaints of more than 200 that we actually identified. And we've asked the chiropractic board to take these seriously. We want, if the complaints and the allegations are proven, we want retractions on the chiropractic's website, and we want the determinations to be made public.
What are some of the examples of the kind of areas of claim you think breach advertising standards?
Well, clearly attempting to treat serious diseases like cancer, heart disease. Did you say cancer? Yes, I did say cancer.
Right.
And that certainly all of those are in some of our complaints. The other concern is providing unnecessary treatment over a long period of time. And there are chiropractors that say that regular chiropractic manipulation during pregnancy, for example, can reduce the complications of labour, reduce cesarean sections, shorten the time of labour. Again, no good good evidence for this at all. And finally, there are chiropractors that use a lot of really unrecognized diagnostic and therapeutic tests, like homeopathy, for example, which, again, National Health and Medical Research Council have shown has no evidence base.
Okay. Well, let's talk about this in just a moment with you more, Ken. I just want to say, too, anyone who's listening who's either been treated by a chiropractor over a range of different areas and ailments, who perhaps would like to throw in your anecdote with regard to that treatment, I'd love to hear from you. 0418 226 576. Whether your experience was for good or ill, I'd love to hear both sides of that. And also, if you're a professional chiropractor and you'd like to weigh in on this conversation, I welcome that as well. We're going to be talking to a couple of chiropractors in just a moment. But before we do any of that, I'd like to point out that we did make contact with the Chiropractic Board of Australia, which are the regulatory board, if you like, overseeing the industry. And they declined our invitation to come on the radio, but they did provide us with a statement, which I'll read in part. The rest of it will be up online on the RN Afternoons website later. Here's part of what they sent to us as a statement, and I quote, "False and misleading advertising is in nobody's best interests. The Chiropractic Board of Australia is concerned that the advertising of some chiropractors is not consistent with the board's standards. To support this and to make the law and expectations clear, the board conducted face-to-face education and information sessions across Australia last year." And then it goes on to say, "The board's next newsletter to the profession, which is due for publication in coming weeks, is entirely dedicated to issues about advertising." That's part of a much longer statement from the Chiropractic Board of Australia. Ken Harvey, can I just ask you, before we go on to some of the chiropractors who are waiting online to respond to any of this, what do you want to see happen after this five-year sort of hiatus where you've given, from your perspective, people the chance to get their act together, to quote you?
Well, look, the time, I believe, for education has passed, and I think the Chiropractic Board has done a good job on that. I think what's needed now is to put penalties in place for chiropractors that continue to breach the advertising standards. And as I've said, there are similar systems, for example, advertising of therapeutic products, in which full determinations are made public and retractions are asked for as well. And my own view is that if misleading information is put to the public, it should be corrected with a public retraction on their websites. That's what we would like to see.
If we follow your inferences down the line, is it not fair to say that if what you're saying is true, then there are consumers who have gone to some of these chiropractors advertising, you say, falsely on evidence that doesn't exist, and they've actually been taken, they've been conned?
Yes, that's true. I mean, let me say that I have no problem with chiropractors treating musculoskeletal problems of the back. I mean, there's good evidence that they are very effective in treating that. But it's extending that to the broad range of other diseases, which is sort of part of the philosophy of some chiropractors, that subluxations and problems in the spine can affect any part of the body, and therefore manipulations can fix anything. That is without foundation and, frankly, dangerous.
That's Ken Harvey. And by the way, if you heard the word subluxation, that will probably come up in conversation in the next 10 minutes or so. We will delve even to what it means. We'll define it in minutes to come. Now, as I said, we're joined today by two representatives of the chiropractic profession. The first is Bryce Conrad, who's a chiropractor and is on the board of the Chiropractors Association of Australia, who have, I think, about 2,700 members as we speak. And he's with us now on Skype. Bryce, can you hear me there?
Yes, I can hear you fine. Thank you.
Good. Thanks very much for joining us here on RN Afternoons. Can I first get you to respond to some of the allegations raised there by Ken Harvey?
Yeah, look, I've been practicing over 12, 13 years, and many of those allegations and many of those things that that he brought up, say, you know, curing cancer, heart disease, diabetes, has never come up to the Chiropractic Association, whether it's a state branch or federal branch. And also, I've been the deputy president of the Chiropractic Council of New South Wales, and we've actually dealt with many of these complaints from a professional conduct point of view, and none of those were ever brought up. So, you know, if he's seen these complaints, the first thing I would say, you know, if they are our members, you know, contact the Chiropractic Association. We'll contact those members and say they're in breach.
Can I just ask you, Bryce, if you say that these issues have never been brought up in those contexts, what is the Chiropractic Board of Australia alluding to?
Look, if they've made complaints to the Chiropractic Australia, the board, then that's fine. We haven't seen so in those particular ones. But, you know, we understand that all practitioners must understand the obligations with the advertising guidelines. And we support the guidelines and we promote it to our members. So we promote it through websites, through newsletters. We've actually done some guild insurance education. So again, like the CBA, we've been educating our members, and we're going to continue.
So can I just ask, I just want to get this clear in my mind. Are you saying that there aren't chiropractors out there making false claims that they can fix such ailments as heart disease, hypertension, pneumonia, epilepsy, infertility, or in fact, is there evidence to support those claims?
I would say there's no evidence to support that we can cure cancer, heart disease, diabetes, hypertension, or pneumonia that he's talked about. We are doing a study at the moment down at St. George Hospital that in a collaborative approach, we can actually help mild to medium COPD with exercise physiologists and working with general practitioners.
Sorry, what's COPD? Can you explain that to us?
It's basically a breathing disorder that happens in the elderly where they slowly lose their lung capacity. So from a musculoskeletal point of view, we're working with the spine, with the rib cage, with the muscles. The exercise physiologists are actually working with those patients and helping with their exercise. And that's all monitored by specialists and general practitioners. So, you know, the collaborative care and, you know, what Dr. Harvey was talking about, you know, the association promotes that collaborative care working with general practitioners and that patient-centered model.
Thank you for that. I'll come back to you in just a moment. I'd like to involve now another member of the Chiropractic Association, or in fact the industry, I should say, and that's Professor Rodney Bonello, who's the president of a breakaway group called Chiropractic Australia. Rodney, can I ask you, why did your association break away from the main body?
Hello, Michael.
Hi.
We felt that the chiropractic profession needed better advocacy, and I'm talking about advocating for modern chiropractic care. Professions should demand and maintain high standards of membership. We felt that the existing bodies in the profession could have been doing more in that realm.
How many members do you have at the moment?
We've got about 1,000 members now.
And how long have you been in operation?
Just over 2 months.
That's all. And you've got 1,000 members compared to the main association, which has been running for years, with roughly 2,700 members.
We did have the assistance of an existing association which agreed to shut down to favour us. So we transferred about 900 members.
I see. Okay. So is one of the reasons why you formed this separate breakaway association, umbrella group, if you like, is because of some of the bad press that goes with being a chiropractor?
Well, the short answer to that is yes, but I don't want to give the false impression for one moment that there is some special problem in the chiropractic profession. Regretfully, some members of all registered health professions transgress ethical and professional standards from time to time, and that's why we've got APRA and the specific boards for each profession. Chiropractors, like doctors and dentists and any other health professional who does the wrong thing, they should be appropriately sanctioned.
Do you, having heard Ken Harvey's allegations of some of the, what he believes to be misappropriate claims being made on websites online from various chiropractic companies, do you think those people should be found in breach and in fact penalised?
If they're making outlandish claims, then absolutely. I mean, we've got a system in place to do that for chiropractors and doctors and all health professionals, and it should be followed up.
Well, Ken Harvey has argued so far that the chiropractic profession has had 5 years to, quote him, get its act together. Is this now time to say enough's enough and it's time to stop false advertising? Because it sounds to me like you'd concur with Ken Harvey that there are some people out there telling porkies.
Look, there are some of those in every health profession, and in every health profession it should be chased up and these people sanctioned.
Ken Harvey.
Look, I've put in a lot of complaints over the years, and I would have to say that I believe that there are far more problems in the chiropractic profession than there are in the medical, pharmacy or nursing professions.
But with respect, you're a doctor, you would say that, wouldn't you? Well, because, I mean, there's been turf wars between chiropractors and doctors stretching back decades.
Oh, look, I accept that. But equally well, you know, there was a web review that basically authorised chiropractic for musculoskeletal problems in Australia a number of years ago. But they were very clear in saying that chiropractic should not become an alternative form of medical treatment. And that's what some of these people, and in fact a number of the people, are doing, saying that they can treat common childhood diseases, that they can... you should have a chiropractor as your primary health care physician. And that, I do not believe, is common amongst nurses, pharmacists, or whatever. And so, again, I dispute the claim. I believe there is a bigger problem in the chiropractic profession, partly because of a philosophical basis that I alluded to before, than there is in other professions. I will admit that, yes, we all have problems, but I believe that chiropractors have got more than most.
Bryce Conrad, can I take some of those comments from Ken Harvey to you now? As I said, you are the a member of the Chiropractors Association, which was the inaugural body that was set up to, I guess, be the umbrella support group for chiropractors around the country. He mentioned there that chiropractors, in part, want to become the primary health care focus for people in the community. That's part of your charter, isn't it?
That's quite outdated, and really it's patient-centered care that we should all be focused on. In my center up here on the Central Coast, we work with 20 other GPs. There's 47 practitioners. Patients have access to us all, and we need to work in a team environment. And really, that's what it's all about. But if we look at some of the problems that the CBA are looking at or APA are dealing with, I think we need to look at in a bigger perspective. In 2013-14, there were 10,000 notifications, of which 56% of those notifications were from medical practitioners, which make up only 16% of practitioners.
I'm not sure I follow your figures. What are you trying to make the point with there?
So the notifications that are being made about chiropractors, you know, there was 111 notifications all up, which is less than 1% of all the notifications of professional misconduct or notifications, period. So look, when we're looking at the health practitioner in the scheme of things and the complaints that are made, we're almost insignificant compared to the medical profession. Not that I'm trying to create a turf war, but you know, the nursing and midwifery, theirs increased by 26%. GPs increased by 18.6%. So, you know, we've got advertising complaints, which if we look back to 13-14, there were 547 advertising complaints for chiropractors, just advertising. And at the end of that year, almost 300 of them were closed. So that leaves roughly 150 that were kind of transferred over. So, you know,
I guess, well, can I just cut in there, Bryce, and say, I guess one of the points that could be raised here is that people don't make complaints if they don't know they're being conned. And that's the point of the false advertising, isn't it?
Well, there's false advertising. I mean, there's false advertising with, you know, the leading cause of advertising is actually dentists. They've got the highest offense.
Okay. All right. Well, we are talking about chiropractic here.
I know. I'm not saying that chiropractors, you know, we don't condone or support practitioners that fail to meet the obligations.
Okay, well, can we just talk about some of the efficacy again of what some of the claims are and what we can then discern as being backed up by evidence and some that can't? Is it not true that on your own website you talk about the benefits of baby chiropractic and that you believe it can help with birth trauma and ear infection?
I don't believe we have that on our website.
Well, we've actually confirmed this. So we've gone to your website and seen that.
My personal website?
I think for the particular practice you run or you're involved with at least.
No, well, we'll look at the spine, and if there is some issues with the child's spine, whether it's birth trauma, we'll be looking at that. But then, you know, we'll refer off to the GP if there are ear infections or anything like that.
So why would you then claim that you could actually help with ear infections on your site?
No, we'd be claiming that we're actually working with the spine and really with that baby in an integrative healthcare environment.
Okay, so that is actually made very clear on your website, is it?
We're not curing ear infections. We're not, you know, curing colic or anything like that. We're dealing with the patient and the patient's spine. Period.
Okay, thank you. Professor Rodney Brunello, as a member of, in fact, the president of the Breakaway Chiropractic Australia group, do you believe this conversation is of worth? Do you believe that there are consumers out there who have been misled by some people in your profession?
Well, as I've said before, in all areas of industry, including healthcare, there's elements of false advertising and people being misled.
My point is there's degrees of that. If you have, for example, someone in your profession claiming they can help you treat cancer, that's nonsense and someone says that to me and I'm desperately in need of treatment, then surely I'm being sold false hope there.
Yeah, I haven't heard cases of chiropractors claiming they can treat cancer. But if anyone did, then certainly they should be dealt with severely. The situation is that Bryce is quite right. The notifications against chiropractors are relatively few. Now, that doesn't make them okay. We have a profession that has a need to develop and grow and establish itself. And so that, in part, that means cleaning up instances where individual practitioners are doing the wrong thing.
Okay. Thank you for that. Look, can I come back to you now, Ken Harvey? I guess one of the overall concerns for you, not only is it the possibility of false advertising without evidence to back up these claims, in some cases highly inappropriate from your perspective, but is it not also the time delay in people seeking help that actually isn't helpful?
Yes, indeed, because if you're foregoing evidence-based treatment for treatment that really has no effect on your underlying disease, then your health can deteriorate and indeed people have died because of it. So that's a real problem. If I can just say a word about the lack of complaints.
Sure.
It takes a lot of work to put in complaints. Probably my colleague and I, to get these 10 representative complaints in great detail with all the evidence, probably took us 2 to 3 weeks. Very difficult to get up good complaints. And then the process is really not at all rewarding at the moment. 12 months, 18 months later, sometimes 2 years later, you might get a one line saying that the matter has been resolved without any detail, without anything else. And we believe that's totally inappropriate and probably one of the reasons why there's not many complaints.
Well, I'd like to thank all three of you for taking part in this conversation. It's one that, as a consumer, I think we all need to be concerned about, and hopefully we've helped people make up at least some part of their minds, if not take a position. I thank you all very much indeed for taking the time. Ken Harvey, Rodney Bonello and Bryce Conrad, thank you all for joining us here on RN Afternoons. It's been great. And by the way, we'll put up online the full statement also from the Chiropractic Board of Australia so you can have a read about what they have to say regarding their concerns over misleading and false advertising. In the meantime, you've got some fantastic comments coming through on Facebook and text. I thank you for that. We will get to those in the next hour and a half or so here on RN Afternoons. But first, here's our CD feature for this week.